Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, new restrictions in addition to Level 5 have been unveiled by the government to contain the spread of COVID-19 and will remain in place until at least the end of January. Meanwhile, all GCSE and A-level exams have been cancelled in the north. An initial school principal believes a surge in COVID-19 cases is down to some people playing chicken with the virus. And the Marine Minister says it's still unclear how the situation will be resolved as it relates to Inishowen fishermen now having to travel to Killybegs to land their catch. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly coming up at about 5:15. First in news though, new restrictions have been unveiled by the government to contain the spread of COVID-19 and will remain in place until at least the end of January. All schools are to remain closed, with an exception for Leaving Cert students who will attend classes 3 days a week. Special education should remain open with protections in place. While childcare services will close generally, they can remain open for vulnerable children and children of frontline workers. All construction, with some exceptions, must cease until January the 31st. Announcing the measures, Taoiseach Micheál Martin says the challenge facing Irish people is stark.
The personal decisions that each and every one of us makes over the coming month will directly affect how many more people get sick and how many more people die. It is as stark and as simple as that. We are in a battle against a deadly and ever-changing virus. The lockdown we are introducing today is designed to reflect that stark and simple reality.
In addition, the government's confirmed click and collect from non-essential retail outlets should no longer be permitted with immediate effect. However, existing orders may be collected. Click and deliver will continue to be permitted. Meanwhile, the planned cuts to the pandemic unemployment payment will not go ahead next month. The rates had been due to fall for some people from February the 1st, but Tánaiste Leo Varadkar says that won't happen.
Today, Cabinet agreed that the pandemic unemployment payment would remain in place, as is, at the current rates, at least until the 31st of March 2021. The employment wage subsidy scheme, again, will remain in place, as it is now, at current rates, until at least the 31st of March. And the weekly payment to businesses that are closed will continue as well, at least until the end of March.
And UK passengers arriving into Ireland will have to provide a negative COVID-19 test at airports and ferry terminals from Saturday. The PCR test must have been acquired within 72 hours of travelling. The travel ban with the UK has also been extended until midnight on Friday. Transport Minister Eamon Ryan says those arriving who break the new rules will be penalised.
Failure to do so will be subject to a mandatory requirement, will be subject to either a fine, €2,500, or up to 6 months imprisonment. It's a penal provision to make sure we get compliance. It's provisionally set in place to the 31st of January, same with a lot of the other provisions we're announcing here today, to give us time to see how it works and to see what happens with our vaccine.
Well, the approval of a second COVID-19 vaccine by the EMA should allow an increase of 10,000 in the number of people who could be vaccinated every week. That's according to Tánaiste Leo Varadkar after the European Medicines Agency approved the use of the Moderna vaccine. European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen says the Commission will work at full speed to approve it and make it available throughout the EU. It's a two-dose vaccine with injections given 28 days apart. In the north, a further 13 COVID-19 related deaths have been recorded and 1,985 people have tested positive for coronavirus in the last 24 hours. There are 561 patients currently in hospital in Northern Ireland being treated for the virus. 44 people are in ICU, 37 of those patients are on ventilators. Meanwhile, the North Education Minister has confirmed that all GCSE and A-level exams due to take place this year have been cancelled. Some exams were due to get underway as early as next week. Peter Weir made the announcement at Stormont earlier today, where he has also been outlining the details of school closures. All mainstream education providers must facilitate remote learning until at least the midterm break in February. However, Mr. Weir says vulnerable children and children of key workers will have access to face-to-face learning.
I now feel that we've reached a point where, while I still believe that examinations are the most appropriate and fairest way of first awarding methodology, with a further 6 weeks of remote learning having to be imposed, we cannot continue with exams in the way that was planned.
An Inishowen school principal believes a surge in COVID-19 cases is down to some people playing chicken with the virus. Dermot Walsh, who is principal of St Mary's National School in Mallin, says a day in the classroom is the equivalent to a number of weeks of online learning. While hoping the restrictions will be short-lived, Mr Walsh says it will undoubtedly be challenging for both parents and teachers in the weeks ahead.
Yeah, well, it's back to where we were again in April, really. We're probably somewhat better prepared, and if we have an online platform up and running now, we would hope that this will be a relatively short-term closure. A day in the classroom is probably certainly worth more than 2 or 3 weeks in online. It's going to be very challenging. It's going to be very challenging for parents in particular. It's going to be challenging for teachers also. Even though the incidence rate has come down somewhat, it is still there in North Inishowen, somewhere around 500 to 600 per 100,000. I think basically what has happened over a period of time is that a not insignificant number of people have been playing chicken with this virus and just not following the public health advice. And now we're in the predicament that we are, and it's really cause and effect scenario. Like, the effect now is that with effect from Monday, school buildings will be closed. Probably with effect from today, we will have an announcement in respect of construction. And unfortunately, we're back now to a situation that we were in March. And we've got to ensure that it doesn't happen again.
And that was Dermot Walsh speaking earlier to Greg Hughes on today's 9 till noon show. The Marine Minister says it's still unclear how the situation will be resolved as it relates to Inishowen fishermen now having to travel to Killybegs to land their catch. Previously, Irish fishermen with Coleraine registered boats were permitted to dock in Greencastle, but they're now prevented from doing so due to Brexit. There are now two designated harbours, one at Killybegs, the other in Cork. Minister Charlie McConlogue has acknowledged that there is currently no pathway forward to a resolution.
I've been talking to a lot of the fishermen concerned, and I'm liaising with the department in relation to teasing out the issue exactly and what possibilities would be in terms of addressing it. It's not straightforward, though, because it does require go into a port for a non-EU vessel to land. It does require that port to be designated. It requires staffing in terms of SFPA staffing arrangements around that and infrastructure around that as well. So it's not straightforward, but certainly I'm very much aware of it. I understand the implications of it for those who are affected in terms of having Northern Irish.
What can a solution be, Minister?
Well, it's not clear yet. It's not quite clear yet, Greg, and I'm examining exactly what the potential might be. Until that is clear, I'm not in a position to say what a solution might or could look like. But there's undoubtedly, and as I say, up until Christmas Eve, if there hadn't been a Brexit deal, then in terms of the vessels we're talking about here, and the number's not quite clear because it would be they're Northern Irish registered, so they wouldn't be on the Irish registration records as such. Up until Christmas Eve, access to Irish water even would have been an issue and would have been blocked off.
Meanwhile, Sinn Féin spokesperson for Fisheries and the Marine says the government should have no intentions around Rockall will be reignited as a result of Brexit. On Monday, a Donegal fishing boat was stopped from entering waters around Rockall by a Scottish patrol vessel and its skipper told they could no longer fish within 12 nautical miles of Rockall because of Brexit. The Department of Foreign Affairs says it is aware of the incident and is in contact with the Scottish and UK authorities. Donegal Deputy Padraig McLaughlin says serious questions need to be answered by government.
The Irish government should have known this was going to be an issue after Brexit, where the British government are reasserting control over what they see as their waters. But this is going to put a new emphasis on an agreement that was done out of the gaze of publicity between the Irish government and the British government a short number of years ago. And I believe in that agreement, the Irish government shockingly ceded sovereignty over the Rockall Basin, the entire area, to the UK government. That has led to these problems, and there's going to be serious questions for our government following yet again this escalation of conflict over fishing rights around Rockall.
And do you think at the moment that it is too late to turn back time on this?
I believe that a short number of years ago, our government negotiated away our right to fish around Rockall in a way that the Icelandic government didn't. The Icelandic government challenged the British government's claim, and we, in my opinion, signed off on it. It was never ratified by the Houses of the Oireachtas. And I intend to bring this to the fore again now because this is the problem that leads to the British government asserting its control. It's the weakness of our governments to stand up for Irish interests.
A woman who has been waiting a year to get a tumour removed at Letterkenny University Hospital while accepting COVID-19 has had a knock-on effect, says she can't understand how her surgery, which has been deemed urgent, is being delayed. Lynette has had a number of planned operations throughout 2020 cancelled. The majority of surgeries at Letterkenny University Hospital have been cancelled for an initial period of 2 weeks as a result of COVID-19. She told today's 9 till noon show that the delays are having other effects on her health.
It causes a lot of pain, you know, every day. I have complained to the doctors about it. The last appointment I had up in the hospital, they told me, look, there's absolutely nothing we can do at the minute. It's up to the management. Management is cancelling all operations at the minute because we need the beds for COVID. It has caused other problems. At the minute, I look maybe 6+ months pregnant. It's caused other problems internally as well. They just keep telling me that I'm done as urgent. I'm on the urgent list and I'm also on the cancellation list. They just keep saying, we can't get you an operation because we need the beds for COVID patients. As far as I was concerned, I was to be dealt with completely within 3 months. I don't understand why they're stopping surgeries. Not all the doctors or the nurses can be working on COVID patients, you know, and not every part of the hospital.
Temperatures are set to dip to lows of -4 degrees tonight as the country prepares for 2 weather warnings to come into effect. A Standish yellow low temperature and ice alert will begin at 8 o'clock and last until 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. Meanwhile, a 12-hour Standish yellow warning for snow and ice will begin at 11 o'clock, with Met Eireann warning of treacherous outdoor conditions developing. Meteorologist Siobhan Ryan says the cold conditions are likely to last through the weekend.
So temperatures are obviously well below average, not majorly below average, it's not a serious cold spell, but at the same time, obviously, temperatures are coming in the low single figures everywhere by day. And obviously by night, we're getting dry, cold, clear skies out there, so temperatures are plummeting under those conditions. So by virtue of that, obviously, we have a cold spell in over Ireland and it's going to stay with us right up until the end of the week.
Highland Sport, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports in Letterkenny. Find all you need for getting fit in 2021, in store and online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's almost 5:15 and time's latest in sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We start with soccer. Manchester City have confirmed 2 further players and a member of staff have tested positive for COVID-19. Goalkeeper Scott Carson and 18-year-old midfielder Cole Palmer both tested positive and will now self-isolate in line with guidelines. Ferran Torres, Tommy Doyle and Eric Garcia will also be unavailable for tonight's League Cup semi-final against Manchester United. However, Gabriel Jesus and Kyle Walker have completed their isolation periods and could be available for selection. Manchester City boss Pep Guardiola says they're down to the bare bones.
You don't have many players to play. 1 game, 2 games is okay, but if this sustains for a long time, it just can use 40, 50 players. It will be more difficult.
And United will be without Edison Cavani for the game at Old Trafford tonight. The Uruguayan international striker is serving the second of his 3-game ban following a racially insensitive social media post. The winners of tonight's semi-final will book a date with Spurs in the April decider. Kick-off there at 7:45. Mick McCarthy has been sacked as manager of Apoel Nicosia in Cyprus. He only got the job in November. The former Republic of Ireland manager has paid the price for a run of poor form, which saw Apoel lose 4 matches in a row and sat 11th in the Cypriot table. Jack Byrne came on as a sub last night to make his debut, but they lost 2-1 to Dhaka. Byrne has just signed a 2.5-year deal after leaving Shamrock Rovers. On the Gaelic Games front, there's been another flurry of inter-county retirements today. Seamus O'Shea is the 4th Mayo player in a matter of days to retire from inter-county action. The Breffy clubman made 51 championship appearances for the Green and Red over what was a 13-year spell. In that spell, he won 7 Connacht titles, a National League title, and was an All-Ireland Under-21 winner in 2006. The midfielder follows Tom Parsons, David Clark and Donal Vaughan in departing the inter-county scene. And Kerry Sheehan Enright has also announced his retirement. The defender finishes his 10-year inter-county career in which he won an All-Ireland title in 2014 and an All-Star the following season. He also claimed 8 Munster titles and a pair of National League crowns. He's the third Kerry footballer to step aside this week following Brian Kelly and Jonathan Lyne. Well, Donegal have been boosted this week by the return of Oran McNeillis. The Gidor clubman has spent the past 2 seasons away from the county panel, having helped them win the Ulster title in 2018. But he's back into the fold once again. Martin McHugh says it's a big lift to have a player of his quality back in the county panel.
Great news, you know. We hear of a lot of players all over the country retiring, and fair play to Donegal. None of the players have retired in Donegal, and this is a big, big boost for Donegal. And as you said, not only is he one of the best footballers that ever played in the county, I think he's one of the greatest footballers that ever played in the country. The talent he has and the ability he has. And I think the big thing about this is that other managers and, you know, in the top teams in the country will be saying, oh, that's a big lift for Donegal. And, you know, when we consider it, you know, this last few years, we've had 4 chances to get to the All-Ireland semi-final and we have failed in all them occasions. I think this might be the chance, you know, getting a player of that quality to come in there could make the difference. And considering, I was just thinking there this morning, you have the likes of, you know, you have Kieran Gillespie, hopefully gets over his injuries and gets back. You have Stephen McMenamin, you have Paddy McGrath, you have Kieran Thompson, you have Oisin Gallen, and now you have Oran McNeillis. Of the players that are there, and hopefully there'll come, you know, some young players too as well. So definitely going to strengthen the talent a lot. And the last thing I'll say about him is, the great thing about this player, you know, he's able to win his own ball. You can play him inside in the full forward line, you can play Oran in the half forward line, or you can put him to the middle of the field. So yeah, it's a great post. I mean, it's a great lift after, you know, the disappointment of Carol Lacey leaving the setup.
The 2020 Donegal Sports Star Awards have been formally launched by the reigning overall winner, Brendan Boyce. Boyce created his own little bit of history as he was the first guest to launch the brand new virtual awards event that takes place on Friday the 29th of January. It's the first time in the 45-year history that the Donegal Sports Star Awards will not host a formal function and has had to make the move online due to the COVID pandemic. The awards will feature a reduced number of categories due to the new format. People from the county and the diaspora can tune into the Donegal Sports Star Awards Facebook page on Friday the 29th of this month from 7:30 when all the winners will be announced. In horse racing, dual winner Album Photo heads 41 entries for this year's Cheltenham Gold Cup. Willie Mullins, 9-year-old, will head to Prestbury Park in his bid to emulate the likes of Arkell, Bestmate and Golden Miller as a 3-time winner of the Blue Ribbon event. Mullins has a host of other contenders for the showpiece event on the 19th of March, including Ken Boy, Melon and Aloha. And finally in boxing, Dean Gardner has walked away from his opportunity to represent Ireland at the Olympics. The Clonmel super heavyweight was due to take part in the Olympic qualifiers in the spring, but Gardner today has quit the sport due to personal reasons. That's the sport for today, Michaela, and I'll have more tomorrow morning.
Thanks, Oisin. I'm returning to some news. A Donegal woman whose son was killed in a crash involving a disqualified driver says new plans by the RSA to name and shame motorists won't go far enough. Under the latest plans, motorists who are banned for drink driving, dangerous driving and other serious road traffic offences by the courts will have their personal details published on the RSA's website. Julie Patton's son Shane was just 18 when he was killed close to his home in Drumkeen in July of 2012. Derryman Eamon Lynch, who had almost 500 previous convictions, had been drinking and was driving at high speed when his car struck Shane. Julie spoke earlier on today's 9 till noon show.
The way I look at it is that any effective deterrence is put in place for drivers who are disqualified by the courts, as we can put on a register, can only be good for the public, that maybe people wouldn't realise that these people are on the roads, they shouldn't be on the roads. A lot of people don't know who's disqualified, whether it's their next door neighbour, whether it's, in our case, a man from Northern Ireland who is disqualified from driving. I feel anything that can reduce the number of road deaths or serious accidents on the road is always welcome. As far as I'm aware, this is only people that have gone through the courts and that have been disqualified through the courts. I think it doesn't apply to anybody who occurs like 12 penalty points and lose their licence. They wouldn't be on the name and shame. Those only people that has been convicted through the courts, as far as I'm aware. So I definitely think the licence needs to be taken off them as well. Or point of contact, they should have to surrender their licence within so many days to the courts if they don't have them with them to the courts then they. Like, there's a lot of issues needs to be sorted, but if it's a deterrent, we need to start somewhere to deter these people from thinking that it's okay to go out. If you have 300 odd road traffic offences and you don't have a care in the world.
Retail Excellence says it was inevitable that food items were the first products to be affected by Brexit. Hundreds of groceries are missing from shelves of UK-owned stores in Ireland this week as a result of delays at some ports. Marks and Spencer shops in France have also been left without goods this week as the initial period of Brexit begins. Managing Director of Retail Excellence, Duncan Graham, says some issues would have been anticipated.
I hope that this will not be ongoing and that this will be something that we see within these first few days of Brexit, but that things will start to smooth as we go through January and into February. I'm sure that will be the case as people get used to it, but it's inevitable that these short shelf life products like food items is where it's going to manifest itself first.
Weather now very cold today, with frost and ice patches remaining in some parts throughout the day. It will be particularly cold but will remain mostly dry, with highest temperatures of 1 to 3 degrees. And a status yellow low temperature and ice alert will come into force at 8 o'clock and last until 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, while a 12-hour status yellow warning for snow and ice will begin at 11 o'clock. Just to have a look at the closing headlines, new restrictions have been unveiled by the government to contain the spread of COVID-19 and will remain in place until at least the end of January. All schools are to remain closed, with an exception for Leaving Cert students who will attend classes 3 days a week. Special education should remain open with protections in place. While childcare services will close generally, they can remain open for vulnerable children and children of frontline workers. All construction, with some exceptions, must cease until January 31st. Meanwhile, the planned cuts to the pandemic unemployment payment will not go ahead next month. UK passengers arriving into Ireland will have to provide a negative COVID-19 test at airports and ferry terminals from Saturday. Meanwhile, an Inishowen school principal believes a surge in COVID-19 cases is down to some people playing chicken with the virus. Dermot Walsh, who is principal of St Mary's National School in Mallon, says a day in the classroom is the equivalent to a number of weeks of online learning. And the Marine Minister says it's still unclear how the situation will be resolved as it relates to Inishowen fishermen now having to travel to Killybegs to land their catch. Previously, Irish fishermen with Coleraine registered boats were permitted to dock in Greencastle, but they're now prevented from doing so due to Brexit. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notice says for this Wednesday evening, January the 6th. The death has taken place of Gráinne McGee, Massenach, Chríslaw. Funeral Mass in St Michael's Church, Chríslaw, on Friday morning at 11 o'clock, with burial afterwards in Doe Cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and burial are private to family only, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. Family flowers only, donations if desired, to the Chríslaw Day Centre, care of any family member or James Harkin funeral director. Mass can be viewed on mcnmedia.tv/camera/ St Michael's Church, Chríslaw. The death has occurred of Paddy Crumlish, Dromahol, Manor Cunningham and formerly of Sleevebuck, Ballyhooly and Sruthin, Gortahork. Requiem Mass will take place in St Columbus Church, Dromahol at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only please, donations if desired, to the St Vincent de Paul Society, care of Pascal Blake, funeral director. Due to HSE and government guidelines, funeral and interment are private to family only, with a maximum of 10 people. The death has occurred of Teresa Breslin, née Waters, Ard Connell, Ardra. Funeral Mass tomorrow at 12 noon in the Church of the Holy Family, Ardra, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake is strictly private, with funeral and interment limited to 10 people. The death has occurred of Molly Doherty, Knock, Ballybuffet. Funeral leaving her late residence on Friday morning at 10:30 for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock in St Mary's Church at Sheshe O'Neill. Interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. The funeral mass will be streamed live via the parish webcam at facebook.com/ St Mary's Sheshe O'Neill. In compliance with current government restrictions, the wake, funeral and burial will be strictly private to the immediate family only, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. The death has taken place of Michael Gamble, Cheshire Castle Finn, funeral leaving his home on Friday morning at 25 past 10 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church Castle Finn at 11 o'clock, interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. In compliance with current government restrictions, the wake, funeral and burial will be private to the immediate family only, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. The funeral mass can be viewed live via the Urney and Castle Finn parish streaming service. The death has occurred of Miles Cannon, Upper Ardsbeg, Gortahorg. Remains are reposing at his home in Ardsbeg. Removal from his home going to Christ the King Church, Gortahorg, tomorrow afternoon for 1 o'clock Requiem Mass with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Rosary both nights at 8 o'clock. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake is strictly private with funeral and interment limited to 10 people. The Rosary both nights and the funeral mass may be viewed live on mcmmedia.tv/Christ the King Gortahorg. The death has taken place of Peter Doherty, Derriish Clay, Carrigart. His remains are reposing at his son Peter's house. Funeral mass in St Columba's Chapel Termin at 12 noon tomorrow, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and interment are private to family only, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. Funeral mass can be viewed live on Kieran Rorty Funeral Director Facebook page. And the death has occurred of Mary Ward, Milltown, Burton Port. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral mass tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock in St Columba's Church Acres, with interment afterwards in Belcrutch Cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and interment are private to family only, with a maximum of 10 people permitted.